ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of podcasts.
Of Blue Jays Nation Radio, Yaremchuk and Coomzee with you to break down what was just a miserable series out in Kansas City. But baseball aside, Coomzee, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You're out in Los Angeles. You completely got mixed up that the Jays are actually playing the Dodgers in Toronto, and you got confused and went out thinking, all right, we're going to be watching the Jays at Dodgers Stadium. I got my Blue Jays Ohtani jersey on. This is going to be sick. But yeah, Los Angeles, how's the City of Angels?
It's been good. It's a little bit chilly today, but obviously I'm out for Oilers King. So for the people who are watching on the YouTube channel, you'll see I have my Oilers Nation backdrop set up in the little studio we have down here. So that's a little bit confusing for the viewer. I'm sure there'll be some of our clips that go around and people who won't hear this explanation a bit. Why is this guy wearing Oilers stuff at an Oilers backdrop talking about the Blue Jays? So I'm sure people will be upset about that. But anyways, Los Angeles is good. It honestly would have worked out so nicely if it was the reverse and the Jays were in LA, because there's obviously an off day tomorrow in Oilers Kings. So I would have had time to go and watch the game. Goddamn.
Would have been perfect, but things are never that easy. As everyone has made the joke today, it's been everywhere. The Ohtani plane has finally touched down in Toronto. I saw that joke roughly 5,000 times, and then I saw 10,000 people complaining about the joke. It was nonstop, but Shohei Ohtani in Toronto, the LA Dodgers. I am completely kind of just forgetting the fact that we have to talk about that whole series in Kansas City, because, man, that was a slog. Like, I found that was hard to watch. I absolutely hate watching baseball against the Kansas City Royals, specifically in Kansas City. I hate it.
Yeah, big ballpark, right? Every fly ball usually seems to stay in. Like, it was a very, very miserable series of baseball for a number of reasons. The Jays win the first game, and then, as this Blue Jays team likes to do, they completely fall asleep for the final, we'll call it, 2.5 games of this series. But the Jays drop 3-4 to the Kansas City Royals. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. So let's start with our three down for the series, Coomzee. And just the fact that the bats keep coming up limp, man. You only score 10 runs across 3.5 games, including one game where you score 5. And I love, again, if you're watching on the YouTube, you'll see this graphic. Games with 5 runs or less, 23. That's 17 games in a row now with 5 runs or less. They've only scored 96 runs this season, 23rd in the majors, tied for 22nd in dingers this year. I had hope that if certain things broke the right way, this Blue Jays offense could return to a level that we've seen, not last year, but in years prior. And the fact that it's just still an absolute dud, and last year we did the whole runners in scoring position, sometimes it's bad luck, whatever, it's getting very hard to just sit here and be like, it's just kind of bad luck. It's an approach issue. It probably need to talk about it being a talent issue as well, but this offense is flat out not good enough.
Yeah, at this point, we're only a few weeks into the season, I guess. It's late April, and there's plenty of time for things to change, but this was all of last year too. And you look at the top three in the lineup specifically, and I think this is sort of where the disappointment comes for most fans. And it's George Springer, Bo Bichette, and Vladdy Jr. And you'll have stretches where each one kind of looks like they're about to bust out of their slump. And it never seems to happen when all of them are doing it at the exact same time. Like in that first game, Bo Bichette comes up with the clutch triple, and you're like, oh yeah, there it is. That's vintage Bo. This is the guy that every year he's right at the top of the list for most hits in the American League. He's always right up there, 200 hits every season. And we all expect Bo's going to get his hits, but so far, so th- through the season. It just hasn't been there for the top three. And I mean, the last time they scored more than five runs in a game is at Yankee Stadium, like right at the beginning of the season. And it's been almost 3 weeks now where they haven't been able to score more than five runs in a game. It's, I mean, plenty of baseball left to be played in the season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So we don't need to put the, you know, cart ahead of the wagon or anything, or, well, I completely messed that saying up, but we don't need to get ahead of ourselves at all. But just given the context from last year and given what we saw and how long this has kind of gone on for, it's I can understand why people are worried that the bats might be just not there.
Cart or wagon in front of the horse. That's what we're looking for there.
The cart ahead of the wagon. There's two wagons. There's a cart and a wagon.
But again, I talked about how, you know, there was optimism that if a few things broke their way this year, that this team could have their offense return to, you know, the level of 2 years ago when they went on to lose to the Mariners in the playoffs. And two of those factors, I think, would have been, hey, if I would have told you start of the year, both Dalton Varsho and Justin Turner are going to have OPSs above 900, you probably would have been like, bang, the top five in this batting order is going to be so deadly in the fact that you're going to have the big three. Then you could flip Varsho at four, and then boom, Turner is your veteran number five to have the lefty-righty balance in your four or five spots. You would have been thrilled. And then you have to go now look at the stats and scroll down after Turner and Varsho and get past, I'm just sorting by OPS here, get past Ernie Clement, Davis Schneider, Danny Jansen, Kevin Biggio, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, until you finally get to the run of Vladdy, Springer, and Bo. In terms of OPS, they rank 8th, 9th, and 10th on this team. It's just flat out not good enough. And this isn't a 2 week stretch of them being subpar now. This has been a month of them being subpar, and something's got to give. I'm wondering how long John Schneider keeps running them at 1-2-3. I know he said like, you don't want to panic or whatever, but like at some point you're just beating your head against a cement wall.
Yeah. I mean, there's other hitters who are just performing better, and George Springer, he's been in the leadoff spot his entire career. It's a role that he's really thrived in. I think he's got the most leadoff home runs, I think, in MLB playoff history. He's right up there with the most leadoff home runs in big league history. It's kind of just been his thing throughout his whole career. But as we saw on social media this week, there was that graph that went around that showed the aging curve where players start to lose their swing speed when they get into their mid-30s. And that's where George Springer is at that point in his career. And it's reasonable to expect, like, look, the power is not going to be there where it used to be. And that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a player anymore. Like, he can adapt his game and still be a fine leadoff hitter. But right now, the on-base number just isn't there. And the Blue Jays need somebody at the top of the order who's consistently setting the table. And there are other options who have just been getting on base better. And then the same thing is you have guys like Dalton Varsho, a guy like Davis Schneider, players like that who are, as of right now, coming through more often for the Blue Jays. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Will a major significant lineup change with bumping Vladdy down to a different spot? We've seen Bo sometimes in the RBI spot at number four. Maybe that'll spark him. Who knows? But it's to be fair, though, like we can take a step back. Like, I think we're all a little pissed off just because it was a rainy, depressing series against the Royals. But like, it's also important to remember with this one against Kansas City. Yeah, they only scored 10 runs, but you're playing outside in the cold at Kansas City. It's a shitty environment. So we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I mean, when you're looking at Springer in the leadoff spot, it feels like that's a spot where you'd probably like to make some kind of change, maybe an upgrade there. Bo and Vlad, these are the guys you've built your team around. It's hard to say really what you do.
Yeah, and again, because we're recording this late because of my travel, the lineup for tonight's already out for the series opener against the Dodgers. They are running out the same, call it front five, that they have for the last little bit here. So no changes yet from John Schneider. We probably also view this series against Kansas City a little bit differently if things go differently in game two, where they have a lead. It's looking good. Kevin Gausman is pitching like Kevin Gausman used to do for us. And it's the error at first base by Vladdy allows the inning to extend. One run comes in, and then the Royals end up tacking on two more, three unearned runs on Kevin Gausman. And Coombsy, we're watching the play together right now. It's just, listen, I know Vladdy said, I just missed the ball. To me, that's a guy, he got caught trying to be a little cocky, a little cute. Like, again, keep your foot on the bag, catch the ball. And he was trying to do the whole stepping off right as he catch it and run to the dugout thing that we see Vladdy do sometimes. It's just, it's such an unacceptable brain cramp at that point in a tight ball game. It's mind blowing, man, that he did this.
Yeah, it's definitely a frustrating one to see. And I mean, Kevin Gausman said after the game, he had the right quote. I think he had the right thing you say in the situation, which was, it stinks, but I still want Vladdy as my first baseman. And I guess it's interesting that we kind of look at Vladdy and we're like, ah, this is another frustrating one from him, even though this is, you know, a gold glove first baseman, someone who I think you can talk about pretty reasonably, though the stats don't necessarily back it up. Stats are weird for first base, I find, but when you're talking about a gold glove first baseman, I think it's pretty widely accepted that Vladdy's a good defensive first baseman, but kind of the narrative that's taken over his career in Toronto, really the last few years since he was excellent in 2021, is there's these mental errors that happen. And I think that's what fans who are pissed off about what they're getting out of Vladdy, it's almost like this is what they're looking for. You have last year in the playoffs, of course, when he was picked off at second base, you have situations like this, just pass balls at first, and he's usually a great defender at first, but it feels like when these things happen, the microscope is just so much more intense. And yeah, if this did happen and yeah, they lose the game, people are pissed off, but he's, you know, batting 300 and has a 900 OPS, I don't think people are that concerned about it. But the defensive issues that Vladdy has, if he ever has them, or, you know, the brain cramps and the base paths, if those things are happening, people only get pissed off about it when he's not hitting. So the microscope's really intense right now for him because the offense just isn't there. They're just, everyone's looking for it. And when it happens, it's very noticeable.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If Vladdy, because the Jays are sitting now, what, 13-14 on the year? 13-13 straight up. If we were sitting here and Vladdy, instead of 3 home runs and 98 at-bats, if he had 8 home runs in his 98 at-bats and had already driven in 18 runs on the season instead of 9, one, we're probably talking about a team that's not dead on 500. They're probably a little bit better. And I'd be a lot more willing to say, hey, let's not get all over Vladdy for this one. Players make mistakes. Look what he's doing with the bat. But it's the fact that right now, what's he bringing of value? It's nothing, man. And Bo, I know Bo's made his fair share of errors at first base, and Springer's no longer a big plus defender in the outfield or anything like that. And that's what also adds to this. It's just that those three, and if we're keeping the Vladdy conversation going, he's not doing anything to help them win right now.
No, it's a pretty ugly lull, not one that we've really seen the combination of all these things going wrong before in his career. Like, yeah, we talk about, I mean, things can change so quickly too. It was in Andrew Stoughton's post in the bat flip, he pointed out, think back to 2022, like the terrible start to the season that Bo Bichette had, and then his defense wasn't really good at all either. And then when he wasn't hitting, we were really on him for the defense. We were like, ah, this guy should be playing second base. But all of a sudden, midway through the season, after the All-Star break, he turns it around and has a great year. But so, like, these things can happen. Of course, there's plenty of time for everything to turn around, so I don't think we're slamming the panic button or anything. But for Vladdy, it just seems like it really feels like it's been almost a consistently downhill, just a slow decline ever since 2021. And I'm not necessarily sure that every single stat backs that up. I know there's a lot of predictive stats that Vladdy's got really good numbers with, but you just look at the basic stuff, like the old school stats, like the OPS, and it's kind of funny to say OPS is an old school stat, but like, it's just kind of consistently going down, and it doesn't feel like the at-bats are getting better. It always, I don't know, it's a weird conversation to have, and I feel like we have it way too often because it always comes back to, ah, well, the ball's being hit hard, why isn't it working? And I truly have no idea what the answer is. Like, there's so many people who have tried to dissect what's going on, and it's, I don't know, who knows what it is. And you ever wonder sometimes, like, is it just the pressure? Is it the pressure of being the baseball prodigy who came up and was the player that we talked about was going to be like the, you know, the face of the Toronto Blue Jays forever? Is the pressure just too much? It's the scrutiny, like even us just talking about it right now, like it's nonstop. It's a nonstop narrative around the Blue Jays. And it's almost like, you know, Toronto's a pretty intense media market, and it's usually this thing's usually focused right at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the hockey team. But Vladdy's right up there for athletes in Toronto who get like a tremendous amount of attention. And he's under the microscope as much as anybody, probably as much as Austin Matthews and who else is up there with him. It's they're 1-2, so it's a difficult spot to be in, and I do wonder if the pressure is just too much.
Yeah, there maybe is like a bigger picture conversation to have about if that pressure is too much, if it's mental with Vladdy. You know, does he ever figure it out in a Blue Jays uniform? I don't know. And again, that's probably a bit much. Like, we're a month into the season. If he has a fantastic May, we're going to be having, we're going to be singing a totally different tune. We're going to be laughing at the fact we even had this conversation.
We'll make fun of ourselves. We always do.
We always do. Like last year, when at this point we said Brandon Belt should be DFA'd. And by the end of the year, it was like, how are they going to replace Brandon Belt? All right, let's the third down we had. The way this series ended, was very confusing, and John Schneider voiced his frustration after the game. It was sent into a rain delay in the fifth inning, and then they like pulled the tarps off, but then they put the tarps back on and the game never started. It was incredibly confusing. And I was watching the third, fourth, and fifth innings at the airport Chili's, shout out to the airport Chili's, before they called the game, Coombsy. And it's the rain is just pounding down for basically the entire fourth and fifth innings. And it was like, it very much felt like they were just trying to get it to the fifth so they could call it an official game and there's no need for a makeup. And that's frustrating considering it was a one run ball game.
Yeah, it's a really frustrating one because Kansas City hit that two-run home run off of Jose Barrios in the first inning. It was Sal Perez, muscles one into the outfield. It gets over the wall. And then in the fourth inning, the Jays finally had a rally and they scored a run. And it's like, you know, this is a tight game. Like, this isn't Kansas City hit a home run in the first inning and they were all over Jose Barrios. And it was, without the rain, they would have, you know, blown this thing open. No, it was a tight game that it felt like as soon as Kansas City hit that bomb in the first inning, the umps were like, you know what, let's get this thing in. We can have a 2-0 score. We'll get this thing over with. And there's no pain in the ass that we have to deal with later. But is it really that impossible to just play the final four innings of a game when Kansas City comes to Toronto later on? Like, I don't know. It's probably an overreaction. And I feel like we're maybe the things just feel higher because we're also paying attention to NHL playoffs and just the stakes of everything feel high. But there was something about that Kansas City series, the last game, them calling it early, that really pissed me off. It put me in more of a negative baseball mood than I thought it would. It's like usually a series out in April against an American League Central opponent, different division opponent, you're like, not going to get too worked up about that. It's a road series, a little unpredictable. But that one feels frustrating because it feels like the Jays probably could have squeezed out a split in this one, and Kansas City's off to a nice start, and you hope this doesn't mean anything in the standings down the road. But again, like, this is April, like, there's so much time for things to unfold. But I don't know, it's just the Royals. It's always like a cursed feeling. There's something about going to Kansas City that always just has that weird vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And there was some weird plays in that game as well. Let's flip gears. Actually, we should do a quick injury thing as we finish up the downs. Not maybe like an official down, but it sucks to see Bowden Francis go down and hit the IL. Obviously, Kevin Kiermaier hit the IL as well. But the Jays, with what's going on, maybe we can just have the big pitching conversation now, but like with what's going on with Alek Manoah down in AAA, losing Bowden Francis right now sucks.
Yeah, this timing's really not good because Alek Manoah in his most AAA rehab start with the Buffalo Bisons, he goes 3 innings, he allows 6 earned runs, it was 4 walks and 5 strikeouts. I mean, there's an argument to be made that you're pitching outside in Buffalo. If you've been to Buffalo this time of year, it's cold, like the lake effect going in that direction. So yeah, it's not easy to grip the ball well and pitch well in Buffalo in late April. That's completely valid, but the command's not there. It's not really exactly what you like to see. And then of course, with the timing, you know, there's the talk last week, Yariel Rodriguez, the Blue Jays have him on a pitch limit. Of course, reasonable because he didn't pitch last season professionally. And the year before that, he was a late inning reliever who was pitching, you know, one inning at a time when he was pitching in Japan. So you don't want to build this guy up too fast and his, you know, arm falls off because he's thrown a whole bunch of innings halfway through the season. Obviously, that wouldn't be ideal either. But the Blue Jays are just winding up in a spot now where the pitching depth is looking pretty thin. And you're looking around at Buffalo and Ricky Tiedemann's got an injury down there. So he's not an option right now. And it's just, what is it? Paolo Espino is probably the next option to come up and give him some bulk. Like, it's not really ideal because the Blue Jays are supposed to be a team that's built on their pitching, and you can't really call yourself a team built on excellent pitching when that consists of 4 starting pitchers and, you know, 7 or 8 relievers. That's a great start. That's a good foundation, but there also has to be depth beyond that. Like, when we talk about a team like the Tampa Bay Rays, and what makes them so good is the fact they can dig in and compensate for, you know, 7 different pitchers getting injured at the same time. They can dig into their system and pull that up, and the Blue Jays just aren't there yet. There's talk about the Dunedin pitching facility and the factory that they're going to become of putting out great pitchers, but we're just not there yet. Maybe it'll be here in a few years, but they just don't have big league pitching depth right now. So we have to hope that any other arms like Gausman, Barrios, Kikuchi, Bassett, gotta hope and none of those guys get hurt.
I like that you bring up the Tampa Bay thing, because it is funny. Every year, Tampa Bay seems to get some rando from AAA who comes up and becomes a high-end pitcher. But also every year they have a high-end pitcher get Tommy John surgery, it feels like. So they need to have that, right? And every team needs to have that layer of depth, because injuries will hit your arms at some point. The Jays were so lucky last year that they didn't have to deal with anything significant to one of the big four starters. And I know that hasn't happened quite yet, but the fact that Bowden Francis goes down and we're like, oh shit, they're in trouble. How much more trouble are you in if one of your actual big pieces went down? Like, knock on wood, but come on. I mean, the depth is still concerning here. Let's switch gears, go to the three up, and we'll start with just how good the pitching was in this series. Yusei Kikuchi began things off 6 strong, 2 earned, 4 strikeouts, no walks. He was in command. He looked good. Kevin Gausman came in, and outside of the runs that came in on a Vladdy error, he was damn near perfect for the Toronto Blue Jays. The trio of Yariel Rodriguez and then Francis and Genesis Cabrera, they went 7 strong, only allowed 3 earned runs. And then Jose Berríos in game 4 got hit up on the dinger. And then aside from that, the Royals didn't get anything going on him, and he was pitching through the rain and looking good. They wasted 4 good starts from, you know, one was the collection of names, but they wasted 4 good, or I guess they won one of them. They wasted 3 starts.
Yeah, and for the Gausman one's really frustrating. We went over, of course, what happened with Vladdy in the air, and I think that's probably a big part of the negative sentiment coming out of this series. Yariel Rodriguez had a little bit of difficulty with his command, wasn't the best he's looked so far, but again, same situation, pitching outside in Kansas City, not always the best. And then the bats were just completely quiet. It was in that start, like you said, it's a quality start with the three of them as a trio, 7 innings, and they only allowed the 3 runs. And then Berríos in that really difficult game with the rain, it's frustrating that Perez was able to muscle that one over the wall, because I mean, that was really the only mistake he made. And it's a difficult situation pitching out there with just like no way to dry your hand and get a better grip. And he grinded through it, I thought, pretty well, only surrendered 3 walks, and it's not easy to have command. So yeah, the Blue Jays, they continue to get the good pitching, which is the positive we have so far. But I mean, given what we just talked about right before that, like, it even feels like this one really good part of the team is somewhat volatile. And if there's anything that happens with a pitcher and the pitching isn't able to roll like it is right now and be the strength of the team, then they're going to actually need to lean on the offense to do something. Because so far this season, they've been able to get by 13-13 without much offense. The pitching's carried them through the first month, and it's not easy for a pitching staff to carry a team through the entirety of a season. So it'd be nice if the Jays could get like a 2-week run where they're, you know, spotting their pitchers big leads, or they're busting off and scoring 8-9 runs. So it's not high pressure, but we talked about this last year. It always feels like the Jays are pitching in high leverage spots. Even the starters feel like they're pitching in high leverage spots.
Because if you make one mistake, you know it could cost you a chance to get a win for your team that day. So very frustrating. And then the other concern would be that this turns into one of those weird years where, like, hey, the pitching was great. Hey, the bats woke up and the pitching got not healthy or started getting lit up. And then you're losing games 9-8. And it's like, well, what the hell's going on right now? So that would be my one pessimistic concern. Optimism would be, we now have more than a year sample size where Yusei Kikuchi has been this good. We now have more than a year where Berríos has been this good. Gausman's looked like he's figuring it out, and Chris Bassett's going to be an innings eater for you. So I think the optimistic side of me would be that it's been over a year now of all these guys being what they are. I don't think we should expect any sort of random fall off from any of them. They might just have a good rotation of 4 arms. We mentioned the Kevin Kiermaier injury news that resulted in Addison Barger getting called up for his major league debut. And in his first AB, he almost took 1 yard. Like, he, any other ballpark, I think they said on the broadcast, Denchon said he hit it like 402 feet to dead center. Like, it was close to going out. But what did you make? I guess we'll rewind a little bit there. I probably got a bit ahead of myself. What do you make of Barger getting the call up over say Martinez, who was ripping the cover off the ball in triple?
Yeah, there was a lot of people that wanted Aroldis Martinez to come up because he had, 5 dingers in the course of 6 games that 1 week, and just an absolutely ridiculous season. But the other thing to remember here is that Aroldis Martinez is just an infield prospect, and he isn't a great defensive infield prospect at that. I think it's 6 errors already for him this year at second base. So Kevin Kiermaier is the one who goes down with the injury, and I think ultimately what's going to result in certain guys being called up is just certain injury fits. Kiermaier is a left-handed bat who can play the outfield, so now you have Addison Barger come up, and he can play in left field in a platoon with Schneider And, you know, that works. Whereas if you call up Orelvis, then you have to kind of shift somebody else to be in the outfield to replace Kiermaier. And while he might be the better bat right now, he doesn't have as much experience playing in AAA, like as many at-bats. Like, this is the older prospect they're bringing up, so it does make sense. It's definitely the exciting one for the Jays because this is someone who's been a name for a while. This is someone that the Blue Jays drafted out of high school back in 2018. It's kind of come up and had put up some really good numbers, cleared through three levels, Vancouver, New Hampshire, and Buffalo in one season, and then had an injury. It was last year he had an elbow injury, I think it was, and this year he's been very good so far. 314 batting average, an OPS over 1,000, three dingers, 10 doubles. Like, that's good offense. Like, of course, there's something to point out whenever a guy comes up from Buffalo is that robot ump situation down in AAA makes things a little bit more hitter friendly than it usually would be. But those are really, he also has as many strikeouts as walks, like an impressive number. So you think that there's a big league hitter there. And, you know, remember last year, Davis Schneider came up in August and you and I both said, we were like, oh man, there's no way that one guy can come up and turn things around for this team, because it doesn't work like that in baseball. But it'd be great if we could get a Buffalo Bisons player coming up again and just kind of sparking some life into the team.
I would very much take a 12-game heater from Addison Barger. Obviously didn't start that way, still in search of his first hit, but he will be in the lineup tonight as the Jays open a series against the LA Dodgers. Do we have another up? Is it just pitching and seeing Barger? Like, what did we do?
I have nothing. The positive is that we don't have to face Kansas City. We don't have to play in Kansas City again this year, assuming there's no playoff series against the Royals, which, good Lord, I don't want to say.
Okay, all right, hell question. You get to pick the Jays wild card matchup, but you only get to choose between Kansas City or Tampa Bay.
Honestly, I think I'm going with Tampa Bay. I thought
Kansas missed the playoffs.
Yeah, just missed the playoffs at that point. I don't want to do it. That's no, I can't. Neither of those two. That's just oof.
I'll give another up here to wrap up the segment. How about the fact that Dalton Varsho is just still rolling, man. He goes and picks up a hit in every game against the Royals. He was getting extra base hits in the first couple as well. Like, he was rolling. His eye still looks good. I think he drew a walk in that series too. He drew four walks in total in that series. Varsho just keeps humming along, man. Hopefully this isn't just a heater. Hopefully this is Dalton Varsho arriving and being the player we thought he was. I know we had this conversation last week on the pods. We don't have to get too far into it, but it's just great to see this keep rolling.
Yeah, I'm happy to have the conversation again, because I feel like Varsho took so much shit last year, and like, the pressure was on him extreme because of the trade, like, justifiably so. That's just how it's going to work in sports. Like, you know, he was kind of like the Adam Larson to the Taylor Hall, basically. Like, the more that Gurriel and the more that Moreno do, the more that people are going to expect and demand out of Varsho. And last year, you're in Toronto for your first year. You left the Diamondbacks, who had been the organization you'd been with since you were drafted. And I mean, it's not easy to acclimatize yourself to a new place, get into a new role. And it looks now like he's just a way more comfortable player. He just looks more confident, looks better. And it would be really, really nice if Varsho was a 915 OPS player for the entirety of the season, because if you mix that with his defense, like, you mean it's too extreme to say, but that's MVP stuff. Like, you have that good defense and you're hitting like this, but it's only been a few weeks. If, of course, you got to stretch that out real far, because remember Matt Chapman of this time last year. But if even if it's not this for the entire year, if you can get this a few different times for like the course of a week or two where you're hitting like this, like, that'll be such a game changer, because there weren't really many times last year at all where Varsho had a hot streak. It never came.
Yeah, totally. So him being on a heater, that is good stuff. Hopefully he can continue it as the Jays begin a tough series against the LA Dodgers. Coombsy, we're going to step aside and take a quick break.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Back on episode 208 of Blue Jays Nation Radio, the Jays at 13-13 sit dead last in the American League East. I mean, they're technically tied with Tampa Bay, so there's a little bit of a silver lining in all of that. Don't forget, if they were in the AL West, they'd be half a game back for the top spot in the division. The Jays didn't look good against Kansas City, and now they have to play a truly elite ball club in the LA Dodgers, who roll into Toronto with a 16-11 record, a plus 28 run differential, and 141 runs scored on the season. That number puts them second in the entire majors, Coombsy. The Jays pitching is going to be in for a real, real test, and the Jays bats, here's a not hot take, the bats are going to have to wake up if they want to win one, even just one game against this Dodgers team.
Yeah, you're going to have Chris Bassett, Yusei Kikuchi, and Kevin Gausman going, and pretty much in any start with the Blue Jays, you're happy with your pitcher that's going. But like we just got through talking about, like, you can only expect your pitchers to carry you so far. And it's a series against the LA Dodgers. They're going to hit runs. You got Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and of course, Shohei Ohtani. And then Will Smith, the catcher, is a great hitter as well. Further down the lineup, Max Muncy, of course, great at drawing walks. They're a really, really good team, offensively especially. And then also, of course, from the pitching perspective, you're also going to get Tyler Glasnow as well in the series. Like, this is a tough one for Toronto. The pitchers really need to be spot on because, yeah, LA's offense, like, there isn't a more difficult lineup, I don't think, in Major League Baseball to go through. But yeah, Brett's got the graphics. The first game, it's Chris Bassett going against Gavin Stone, who's got a 6 ERA across 4 starts. He's one of those kind of handful of random depth starters the Dodgers are kind of throwing out there to see who can pitch behind Glasnow. And I think Clayton Kershaw is still around, as far as I know. So weird top-heavy pitching staff, but we're getting two of the best pitchers that they have thus far. Kikuchi goes against Glasnow, who, of course, they got in the trade from Tampa over the offseason. 2.92 ERA. He's been damn good. And then Kevin Gausman starts the third game. He had that great start in Kansas City. That's very encouraging. And it's a TBA right now for the Dodgers, but based on who pitched after Glasnow last time, I think it's going to be Canadian James Paxton, who's got a 2.61 ERA thus far in 4 starts. So James Paxton, he threw a no-hitter in Toronto one time, so you never know. I think this is going to be a tough series for the Jays. I hope they escape this one with one win.
And that best chance to win is probably in 2.5 hours as they kick off this series against the Dodgers, because you're getting Gavin Stone, the weak link in the rotation. And I mean, if your offense couldn't hit the guys you were going up against in Kansas City, I don't have a lot of confidence that you're going to find success against Tyler Glasnow. So winning game one, I think, is imperative for this Jays team. Hopefully they can come through in that regard. The Jays, again, 13-13. They played 20 of their 26 games this season against teams who are above 500, and they're 500 in those games. It's actually interesting to look and see that the Dodgers in their games against teams above 500 this year are actually just 4-7. So maybe
are they frauds?
Are they frauds? I mean, probably not. They're really damn good. they spent $8 billion on players this winter. So I don't know. Frauds? I'll believe that for the weekend. Let's go there. Jays lineup tonight: Springer, Guerrero, Bichette, Turner, Varsho, Jano behind the plate. Addison Barger will play again. And then IKF at third, Biggio at two. So no Davis Schneider for John Schneider in the series opener, but they're facing a righty in Gavin Stone. So win one, Coombsy. Start tonight, win this one, and if they win tonight, then maybe we'll get our hopes up for 2 out of 3, but you got to win tonight, I think.
Yeah, this is an important one. One thing we've also got to think about is this is going to be the first time, of course, Ohtani plays in Toronto as a Dodger. Blue Jays legend Shohei Ohtani. Maybe we'll see some Blue Jays Ohtani jerseys in the crowd. Do you think fans are going to boo? And if they do, is it justified? Should they?
Yes and yes. I think he will get booed, at least in his first AB. And I think, you know, you can kind of read the reports, or you can read different reports, and I know there's conflicting info, but I think it did kind of sound like Ohtani used the Jays to get a great offer out of the Dodgers. So he used you. I still think that day when everything was going on with the plane, if Ohtani's camp wanted to end that immediately, they could have reached out to any number of baseball insiders and ended it immediately. I look at a guy like John Morosi, who has been a very good and accurate insider for his career. I don't think he just accidentally got bad information on this. I think that Ohtani's camp used the Blue Jays. I'm still sour about the way that all went down, if you can't tell by what I'm saying right now. And I would boo the ever-loving hell out of this dude. I'd boo every LA Dodger this series. But Ohtani, I have no problem booing him.
This is why you got on a flight to LA. Fists were clenched. You were mad. You were like, I'm going to boo at Shohei Ohtani. And then you got there and you were like, now I have to watch the Edmonton Oilers play two playoff hockey games against the Los Angeles Kings. God damn it. What happened here? Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm on the same page as you. I think just from this, the perspective of entertainment, that I think it's just funny to have beefs like this in baseball. Why not? Like, this is something that the sport, I don't think it lacks right now, but it did lack. And that was kind of what led to baseball being perceived as this boring sport that, you know, is not exciting, doesn't have personalities. This is the kind of stuff you need. You need Blue Jays fans being irrationally mad that they didn't sign a free agent in the offseason, and then subsequently they hate that other team, even though they don't play them more than, you know, once every year or so, and they're on the other side of the continent. Like, it's a funny rivalry. And this is good for the game.
Yeah.
Good
for
the game.
I actually
hate good for baseball.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is good for baseball. I love Shohei Ohtani, the player. As a Blue Jays fan, I'm going to hate Shohei Ohtani, the Dodger, this weekend. But I'll give you three predictions in this series. I'm going to say the Jays offense scores more than 5 runs in a game. I'm going to say Addison Barger gets not only his first hit, but his first career extra base hit. And I'm going to say Shohei Ohtani hits a home run that is at least 450 feet.
Yeah, and we all sit there wishing, imagine what that could have looked like. Imagine what could have been. Oh man, what could have been? I bet you. I have a feeling he's gonna smack a bomb. It's gonna happen. He's gonna hit one on Friday. I'm confident in that. I think it's gonna be in his first at bat, and the fans are gonna be pissed.
All right, Coombsy. Good stuff as always. Big shout out to our producer Brett Holden. Killed it on the graphics and on the video front today. If you listen to the podcast, we love you, but you should go subscribe to our YouTube channel as well to get a bunch of good Jays Nation content. That is a wrap. Coombsy's gonna be in on Monday to recap this Dodger series. Enjoy the weekend.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.